Morning. Today's Daf Nerevin Lamed. We are here in the third parak of the Masechta. We are discussing setting up a new Makom Shvisa. You want to move your Tchum. So that means to say, you want to move your Tchum. And that means to say that right now you are confined on Shabbos to walking within 2,000 amas of your point of center. You want to move your point of center. So how do you do that? So on Erev Shabbos, what you will do is take food, bring it to a new location, a new Makom Shvisa, establish that to be your point of center. And then from that point going forward, 2,000 amas, you can go in every direction. Right now, we're focusing on the food. What food is going to be? What food is going to be required in order to make up an erev tchumim? So it's going to be two meals worth of food. Interesting, by the way, that on Shabbos, obviously, there's a requirement to eat three meals. And meanwhile, the halacha for erev tchum only demands that you set up two meals worth of food. Worthwhile endeavor to try to figure out why that should be. But anyway, that's the halacha. The halacha is only shtei seudos. What kind of food? So that was the first Mishnah. That we did already, the first Mishnah of the third parak. Bechol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin. You could use any food you want. Tosfos points out in the beginning of the parak that vis-a-vis eruv chatzeros, so there the requirement is bread. We're not talking about eruv chatzeros, we're talking about eruv tchumim. There was a Rashi, the first Rashi in the parak, that says that we're also talking about eruv chatzeros, a difficult Rashi. So with that stated, so you're going to now set up any and all food in your new Makom Shvisa. You're doing so before Shabbos. The Bein HaShemashos period is the time in which the Eruv is going to be acquired for you. That will be the Zman HaKinyan. And that's it. And now you're good to go. What we've been discussing since the beginning of the Perek is the various halachas regarding the food themselves. We spoke about which foods are not nourishing and therefore going to be excluded. The Mishnah says salt and water, or salt or water. The Gemara had a discussion already about salt and water, otherwise known as salt water. Is that going to be any better than either one of them individually? We spoke a little bit about mushrooms. Mushrooms are also off the list and not nourishing, and you can't use mushrooms. And then a discussion, which we already had in the beginning of the Perek, in terms of Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni having nothing to do with our Masechta, but Maaser Sheni has the same list of foods in which when you take your kesef Maaser Sheni and you go to Yerushalayim to purchase food, the Torah says, Bechol asher ta'aveh nafshecha, and then a discussion of what is included, what's excluded, and there we spend some time at the beginning of the Perek talking about how to darshan that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Are we going to be using Kalu Prat? Are we going to be using Ribui Miut? Even if we use Kalu Prat, what exactly is going to be the shared characteristics? Well, wonderful. That was all in the beginning. Then, on Chav Ches and on Chav Tes, 2 days ago and yesterday, so the Gemara spent a lot of time with a lot of different foods. Foods that are edible, foods that are partially edible, unripened foods. So that was a big part of Chav Ches. Chav Tes, we spoke about many different foods specific. I spoke on yesterday's daf about apples, cooked wine, vinegar, onions, bulbous versus the leaves. We spoke about beer, we spoke about dates. Those are all topics we discussed. Now, for the foods that are perfectly edible, the only real point of discussion is how much do you need? How much of the food do you need in order to make an Erev Tchum? So that was also a big part of yesterday's daf as well. We are almost finished with yesterday's daf. We are in the Gemara, three lines down as the lines get wide towards the bottom of the Amud. And now we are going to be talking about Shesisa. Shesisa is highlighted in the sixth parak of Brachos in terms of what bracha you should make. What is it? So it's a dish. And if you want to see its ingredients, so for a short recipe, take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes regarding the Shesisa. Rashi is a little bit less than a little bit more than halfway down on the column. So Rashi says, "Maichal she'osim mikemach kali shenis yabish betanur." So Rashi says you start with dry wheat kernels, dried in the oven, v'nosnin toasted. By the way, probably a better way to describe it, and v'nosnin devash l'sochatavshel, and then with honey that goes into it as well. Okay, some sort of porridge, some sort of farina, whatever the case is. Anyway, shesisa. The Gemara in Brachos talks about what bracha to make on the shesisa. And if my memory serves me correctly, the Gemara over there made a distinction between whether it was a thick or a thin consistency. Meanwhile, our Gemara over here focusing on how much do you need in order to set up your eruve tchum. So here we begin the Gemara, leaving, continuing right where we left off yesterday. Shesisa. So the Gemara describes over here two spoonfuls. Two measures that are from the town of Pumbedisa. In other words, apparently every community had a specific measurement specific to that community. Whatever the case is, anyway, the Gemara gives a measurement. Didn't help me much in terms of understanding the measurement. But anyway, that's the measurements that are given. As long as we're here, the Gemara now is going to quote Abaye, as the Gemara often does, in terms of health advice. And who does Abaye going to quote? So as he typically does, he quotes his mother, not biological mother, but his stepmother, his foster mother. Amar Abaye, Amar Le'aim. Hani Kisanai Maluliba. So my mother told me that these Kisanai, good, so we just described the Shesisa, and the spoonfuls of Shesisa. So it's good for the heart of Mavat Le'machshavasa, and it takes care of any anxiety. V'amar Abaye Amar Le'aim, also another thing reported to him by his mother. Haimandis Le'chusha Le'liba. Anyone who has any fatigue in the heart, right, arrhythmia maybe, not really diagnosing, but Laisi Bisra Di'itma, Yamina de Dichra. So what you should do is you should take the meat of the thigh of a male animal, of a ram, Valaisi Kivu Derasa Denisan, and also in terms of what coals you should use, so use manure. Let the manure dry out, and it's flammable, and use that as your fuel. V'ileka Kivu de Reisa Laisei Sugini de Arvasa. And the Gemara says, now if that's not available, so the Gemara recommends another type of fuel in order to use v'nichbe, and then go ahead and roast it v'nechel, and then you should eat it v'nishte basrei, and follow it down with chamar marka, some diluted wine. Okay, so good. Some health advice given by provided to him by his mother in terms of what to do for general anxiety, for a weak heart. And we continue. We are towards the bottom now of Chavtes Amud Beis and at the two dots. And now the Gemara is going to have some larger discussions regarding the requirement of food that's put down for the Erev Tchum. And the Gemara begins. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Koshu Liftan. Kedei Le'echol Bo. Kosh Einu Liftan Kedei Le'echol Heimenu. The Gemara now is going to create two categories in terms of the amount of food that one is required in order to set up his Erev Tchum. Again, the starting point of this discussion is that you need two meals worth. Now, when we say two meals worth, so exactly how much food are we talking about? So the Gemara now has two categories. One, in which we're talking about a food that serves as an accessory to bread. That is kidei lelafes es hapas. And there's another food where it comes basically as its own dish, and it's not there to accessorize the bread. Maybe the difference over here is between a condiment and a non-condiment. Might not be the best way to say it. But still, we have our two categories in front of us. Now, halachically, the difference is going to be the following, as Rashi here explains. When you have a food which is serving as a condiment, so how much of that food do you need? So you only need the amount of food that it will need to be brought in conjunction with the bread. So that means to say that I only need a small amount of the accessory, and so that comes along with the meal. So in total now, for that Shabbos, to set up my Erev Tchum, so I only need that minimal amount. Obviously, this represents a kula. It's a leniency. On the other hand, the other category is that if the food itself is coming as a main meal and not to accessorize bread, so then I'm going to need the amount of that food as it presents itself as a main course. And therefore, I'm going to need a lot more of it. Okay, so these are the two categories that are created. And the Gemara now is going to be discussing where does foods belong in these two categories. Obviously, most foods are self-evident. But there are some foods that are on the border, and the Gemara now is going to discuss where do they belong. So let me start again. Am Rav Yehuda Mishmo Koshu Liftan Kidei Lechol Bo. So anything which is lalafes, anything which is there to accessorize together with bread, it's Kidei Lechol Bo. The amount that you need together to eat with it, meaning it the bread. And Kol She'eino Liftan Kidei Lechol Heimenu. Now, if it's not an accessory, if it's a main dish in of itself, so then you need two meals worth of it in itself. So for example, says the Gemara, Buster Chai Kedei Lechol Heimenu. So if it is raw meat, so then it's the amount necessary in order to eat it in of itself. It is considered a main dish. Raw meat, by the way, presents a couple of halachic issues. Raw meat, first of all, it presents a challenge just in terms of eating it in of itself. Okay, not that digestible, but put that aside for just a moment. The halachic issues is that if it's raw, so that means that it still has blood in it. One's not allowed to eat blood. So over here, the Gemara is not discussing this whether or not it was salted or not salted. So presumably it was salted, because if it wasn't salted, and obviously it wasn't roasted, so how exactly was the blood extracted? Okay, so that obviously becomes an issue. So presumably we can assume over here that maybe it was salted already, but anyway, so it's raw meat. So, but nevertheless, it's clearly a main course. Now, Basav Selina, what about if it's roasted meat? So roasted meat, is that a main dish or is that something that accessorizes bread? Oddly enough, it's a machlokas, meaning based on our cultural practices. So it's I would have clearly put it under the category of a main dish. But the Gemara here has a debate. So Rabbi Amar Kedei Lechol Bo, Rav Yosef Amar Kedei Lechol Heimenu. So machlokas Amarayim as to whether or not it's its own dish or whether it accessorizes. I'm Rav Yosef Mena Minala. So Rav Yosef says that it's a main dish, and he says, I'll tell you why. Why? Because Nahani Parsai Achle Tavake Belo Nahama. Look at the Persians. They eat meat, and they do so without bread. So the practice of the Persians, that indicates that it itself is its own course, and it's not there just Lalafes Bo Esapas. I'm Le Abaya Parsai Have Ruba De Ama. So Abaya objects because, look, okay, I agree with you. The Persians have a practice. The Persians only represent a small percentage of the population. They do not represent the majority. You cannot determine a halacha based on a minority percentage. So Vatanan, he says, I'll prove it to you. And we've gone over this numerous times. We covered this already in Erevin earlier. And that is, Big Day Aniyim Laniyim, Big Day Ashirim Lashirim. When measuring an amount of garment, of clothing, that is going to be susceptible to Tumas, Tumas Medras, so how much do you need? So so you need a small swatch. And a small swatch is shalosh a shalosh etzbaos if you're poor. If you're poor, every piece of fabric is going to be important, significant. And so therefore, even if it's 3 by 3 inches, because you're poor and because you need that patch, so therefore it's significant and therefore it will be mekabel tuma. Now, if you're wealthier, so you have more, and so therefore you don't have to go ahead and save the smallest piece of garment. So for you, the wealthy individual, it's going to be shlosha al shlosha. It's going to be 3 by 3 tefachim. Obviously a much bigger piece of garment. And so over here, when it comes to Tumas Medras, so it depends whether you're wealthy or you're poor. And obviously, and the Gemara is going to now make the obvious point, and that is, as we turn to the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, Ava Big Day Ashir Maniyim Lo, but over here, let's say, it is clothing for a wealthy person, that will not determine the halacha for a poor person. I mean to say that one segment will not affect the other segment. Look at the top Rashi. Klomer. La'aniyim lo bi'in big deshirim ela kevin de lididu chazei az lebasrayu. So hachanami afagav de parsai lav liftanu kevin de lididan have liftan niske b'shir zuta. So vis-a-vis the clothing. So the clothing of one population is not going to determine the halacha for the other population. Here as well, when it comes to the eating of the meat, just because the Persians eat and their group eat it in one manner is not going to determine how the rest of the world is going to eat it and is not going to determine the halacha. So what do we have over here? A clear indication and a clear challenge against Rav Yosef. How can you just simply point to a group and say, hey, look, that's how they're doing it, therefore the halacha goes as follows, and the Gemara says, and Abai says that shouldn't be the case. So the Gemara now suggests the following. Maybe, look, maybe we don't know. Meaning, maybe this question of whether or not one group will determine another group, maybe we're just simply unclear on this issue, and we're always going to play on the side of caution. And so therefore, we're going to be machmir in every circumstance. So vis-a-vis the Erev Tchum issue, how much meat does a person need? Well, there are groups, there are segments of the population that eat it in of itself, so we should require the larger shear. On the other hand, when it comes to Tumas Medras, so when a poor person has the clothing of a wealthy person, and how much of it is going to be needed in order to be Mekabel Tuma, so here what we could suggest is we don't know. And because we don't know, so therefore we're going to be Machmir, and therefore have the Tuma be Mekabel even at a smaller shear, which would obviously serve as a chumrah in the world of Tumas Medras. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is we're just simply going to be machmir because we don't know. The Gemara says, V'atanya, the Gemara says, but consider the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Ma'arvin l'cholo, l'zakin k'dei mizono. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, when making an eruv for a person who is sick or elderly, where their appetite is reduced and their meals are smaller, so then the amount that they have to set up for the eruv tchum is going to be smaller as fitting for the individual, for that particular individual. Now, when it comes to the person who is gluttonous and eats a tremendous amount, how much does he have to suffer as Erev Tchum? Only the average amount eaten, consumed by the average person. What we have over here is that for the glutton, we're going to be makel. Meaning we're not going to say that the amount of food has to be tailor-made to his appetite, but rather we're just simply going to operate with averages. And so to which the Gemara says that it's clear from this brisa that we are going to be makel and go with averages, even lakula. So kasha. So the Gemara leaves it off as it's difficult for Rav Yosef to suggest that just because the Persians do it one way, therefore the halacha should follow like the Persians. We have just concluded based on this brisa that that's not necessarily the case. We go with averages, and even if the conclusion is it's a kula, we still will go with averages. We learned in the brisa Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Og Melech Abashan, Pitzcho Kim Melo'o. The Gemara now is going to be challenging within the Shita Rav Shimon ben Elazar based on another halacha of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And again, the question is, do we operate with averages, or do we have the halacha follow specific to the person in under discussion, even though that person's a bit of an outlier? So let's take a look at the following halacha as it relates to Sofo to Malatzes. We know that if there's a mace in a house, so everything under the roof is going to be tame. The tumas hamace is going to go through the air, upwards, hit the roof, spread out over the roof, and drop down to the interior of the room. What about doorways? What about thresholds? So here, it is much of a discussion in terms of the area under the doorway. If there is not yet been decided how the mace is going to be taken out through which doorway, so then we're going to assume that every doorway is a candidate, and therefore the area under each of the doorways is going to be tameh, and this is tuma sofa latzes. If, however, it has been decided and determined which doorway it is that the mace is going to exit, so the area under that doorway is going to be tameh, and all other areas are going to be tahor. Over here, let's say the mace inside the house is Og Melech Abashan. The Gemara is just using him by example. There is a debate amongst the Tanaim whether or not a non-Jew gives off Tumas Ohel. Over here, we don't have to get into the debate. We could just simply say over here, Og is just simply an example of someone very large. So Og Melech Abashan Pitzcho Kimaloa. In order for the doorway to be the established exit doorway, the size of the doorway has to be the size of Og, so that Og is able to exit the doorway. And so what do we see over here? And this is none other than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is clearly working with the idea that the halacha will conform to the person, even though the person himself is an outlier. The person does not represent the average. Okay, so what we have over here is a problem. In the world of Tchomim, what did Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar say? That even for the glutton, the amount of food that he has to lay down to make an Erev Tchom is going to be only an average meal. We have what seems to be a stira. Interesting that the Gemara poses these two against one another, when meanwhile, yes, it's the same Baal Memra, but it's two different areas in Halacha. But nevertheless, the Gemara feels that there should be a common thread that goes through these two Halachas. So the Gemara says, Ve'abayi. Now, as far as Abaye is concerned, so Hausam Heich Le'avid, Heidumin Hadmei Menafke. So the Gemara says, look, I can't compare the two Halachas. Interesting, he's not balking at the idea that we're putting the two halachas side by side. It's just that there's a practical issue. In terms of the removal of the remains out of the house, so Og Melech Abashan, he can't fit through a doorway. So what do you think the solution is going to be? Do you think the solution is, Rachmanis, we're going to cut the remains into pieces in order to remove them through the doorway? Nivel Ameis, that's a desecration of the body. Not allowed to do that. So when it comes to Tuma Sofa Latzeis, so there it's a pragmatic issue. There is no other option. Obviously, the doorway that is going to be used is the doorway that's going to be large enough so that he can leave. And if there is no doorway large enough, so then we're going to make a doorway large enough, but what we're not going to do is that we're not going to cut up the body. So the Gemara says, so the only reason why Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar has it in the halacha of Tumas Sofa Latzeis to be specific to the person is because, practically speaking, there is no other solution. Ivailahu, the Gemara wants to know, Pligi Rabban Alad, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Olam. Okay, so we know Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's position regarding Tumo Sofa Latzeis. Is there going to be anyone who argues with him? Because the way the brisa was presented, it was presented as this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, as if there is a conflicting position. Is there, in fact, a conflicting position? Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's see. The Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Rav Yochanan Og Mel Chabasham Pischo Ba'arba'a. Here we have a Braisa. The Braisa says that if the mace in the house is Og, so what is an entrance? An entrance way is going to be 4 by 4 tfachim. Now, obviously, not nearly large enough in order to allow Og Mel Chabashan to be exited, to be removed from the house intact. And meanwhile, that's a Braisa. So presumably, the author of the Braisa is someone who argues with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now, just to be clear, by the way, the Braisa, not for a moment, not for a second, is considering cutting up the body in order to remove it out. All the Braisa is saying is that when I have an exit that big, since halachically that qualifies as an exit, so therefore that will be the determined exit in which will be used. In terms of the actual exiting, obviously the exit itself is going to be widened. But for the here and for the now, this is going to be a valid exit, and therefore it will qualify for the halacha of Tumah Sofo Latzeis. Okay, anyway, but the Gemara now is saying that we have somebody who's arguing with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Gemara says not necessarily. Hasam, we could say that the Braisa over there was talking about a very specific scenario, which is the Ikab Stachim Ketanim, Tuva. There are a lot of entrances, but the other lot of exits. And the other exits are really small. V'ikachad havi arba'a. And there's one exit that's a 4x4 tfachim. Now, devadai ki kamarvach be'ahu kamarvach. And when eventually one of the exits are going to get widened, which one is going to get widened? So the one that already is halachically an exit, that's the one that's going to get widened. That's the case under discussion. In that case over there, even Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would say that that will be the designated exit, even though in its current state it's not wide enough. But nevertheless, we know that that's the one that's going to get widened. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar will determine that to be the one in which the mace is going to exit. All the other openings in the house are not going to be the exit. And so therefore, we can establish that only the area, only under the lintel of that exit is going to be tamed. The other ones are to be saved. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav Ma'arvin Bebasar Chai. You can make an Erev Tchumim with raw meat, as we already discussed at the beginning of Shir today. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya Ma'arvin Bebetzin Chayos. Raw eggs as well could be used for your Erev Tchum Vekama. How many raw eggs are we talking about? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Sinai Amar Shtayim. Quoting Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef is described to Sinai, the end of Gemara Brachos. The Gemara wants to know, what's better? Sinai, having an extensive knowledge of all the Mishnayos and all the Braisos, or Oka Harim, having the analytical ability to analyze, to deduct. So which one of those are better in terms of learning? The Gemara pits the two against one against the other. If a person has both, by the way, that'd be even better. But what's better? Anyway, Rav Yosef embodied Sinai. And so that's why he's described throughout the Gemara as Sinai. Anyway, he says two eggs is sufficient in terms of creating your Erev Tchum. We're continuing in the Gemara. Okay, covering our first topic for this morning, a discussion of whether or not, two discussions so far. One, as to how much food is going to be necessary for our two meals. So if it is something which accessorizes bread, I only need the amount that is necessary to accessorize the bread for those two meals. And that's it. If it's something that's eaten in of itself, so then I'm going to need the amount that is eaten in that one meal. And then a sub-discussion within that, in that when establishing amounts, are we going to say that the amounts are going to be specific to the person, or do they follow the averages? And in that second discussion, the Gemara conclude, like Rav Shimon Elazar, that generally we're going to follow averages, with the notable exception of somebody whose appetite is very small. So for that person, the amount could be reduced. Actually, we're going to come back to that point a little bit later on this morning. Continuing in the Gemara, Hanodim and Amazon, Mutar B'mayim, a person making a neder and saying that he's not going to be eating Amazon, so that person can drink water. Okay, as we already pointed out in the Mishnah, how long can a person survive like that? Not having anything sustaining, obviously, it cannot be a permanent condition. If that were a permanent condition, so that's suicide. So you can't do that. But anyway, whatever. He wants to do one of these dietary fasts, which are popular nowadays. So he makes a neder that he's not going to have anything which is nourishing for a certain amount of time. So he can have water. So melech umayim, and he can have salt as well. Melech umayim, the Gemara comments on this neder. Melech umayim udalo ikre mazon hakol mila ikre mazon. So what does that mean? That there are two categories. There is salt and water, which is not mazon. And then that would, of course, mean that every other food is, in fact, considered mazon. And lema tiavati yofta de Rav Shmuel. And so the Gemara says, now what it seems to be is difficult on the position of Rav and Shmuel. And for a second time this morning, we hearken back to the sixth parak of Brechos. Because the Rav and Shmuel, Dami Tavarim, Avarchim Bor, Minim Mizonos, Ela Al Chamesh Saminim Bavad. Because Rav and Shmuel say back in the sixth parak of Brechos, that the only time you're going to be making the Brech of Mizonos is only on anything that has the five grains and nothing else. And by nothing else, we also mean not rice. And the Gemara says, Velo Svina Chadazimna. Now the Gemara says, go back to that sixth parak of Brachos. And there were questions that were already posed on the positions of Rav and Shmuel. And we do make a mazonos on other foods, notably rice. And rice is funny, by the way. The Gemara's conclusion over there is that the Bracha Rishona is a mazonos and the Bracha Achrona is not Alamechia. It's Bar Nefashos. But anyway, so we already challenged Rav and Shmuel back in Brachos. What are we going to do? We're going to challenge them again. So Lema Tehevet Yufta Name Meha. So the Gemara says, yeah, look, we did challenge and we did refute their position back in Brachos, but here we could pile on, can we not? So which the Gemara says, not necessarily, Amar Rav Huna, but Omer kol hazan alai. Maim humelech hu delo zayne, hakol mile zayne. So the Gemara says, no, what we could do is understand our brisa to be describing, our mission to be describing, not mazon, but rather zan. Anything that satiates a person. And so food satiates a person, but water nor salt does not satiate a person. So the Gemara says, and then at least from here, we're not going to have a challenge against the positions of Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Rama Rava Barbachani Ki Aval Zina Basrei De Rav Yochanan Le Mechel Pera Diginosar. So the Gemara tells a story which we heard already back in Brachos, and we get to hear it again, where Rav Yochanan and his students, they collected the fruit of Ginosar. So that's fertile area that's around the Kinneret. And ki avinan be mea hava mankin al chol chavachad asara asara. And we got him 1,000 fruits. If there were 100 students, each one got 10. And ki avinan be asara hava mankin al chol chavachad mea vimea. And we were 10 students, everyone collected 100. Meaning we knew Rav Yochanan's diet. Rav Yochanan liked 1,000 of these fruit. V'chol mea minayhu hava machzik lehu sana bas talta save. 100 of them would go into a basket of 3 sa'a. Vav achalu lekulon, Rav Yochanan would eat them all. Okay, I want to be careful about how we comment about Rav Yochanan's appetite and also his shape as well. But the Gemara is in other places very clear regarding Rav Yochanan's shape. He was a large man, and so he had a big appetite. And those are the facts. Anyway, va'amar, and then after completing the food, he says shvas delo timele ziyuna. And he says, I swear that I'm not full. And I could eat more if given the opportunity. Okay. From the positive aspect of it, so Rav Yochanan is showing his love for the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, comes out over here as follows. Our focus is on the word ziyuna. So the word ziyuna means, and I swear that it's not fulfilling. It's not nourishing. Meaning, it didn't make me full. Well, actually, that's already the answer. In other words, what he ostensibly said is that it's not nourishing, and that's problematic because we just got done explaining that the shvu that's made in our Mishnah of hanoder min hamazon is not noder min hamazon, but rather hanoder min hazan. Anything that is filling, and water and salt is not filling. Everything else is filling. Therefore, it's not a kasha and Rav and Shmuel. But meanwhile, we're listening to what Rav Yochanan said after consuming the 1,000 fruit, and that is, he says, I'm making a shvua that's not zan. Now, what do you mean it's not zan? We just got done saying that every food except for water and salt is zan. So, ema mizona. So the Gemara says, okay. So just in terms of clarifying what Rav Yochanan said, his commentary afterwards is that it didn't fill me up. Obviously it's caloric, and obviously it's nourishing. But it didn't fill me up. That's what Rav Yochanan was in fact saying. I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav Shvur Shalo Ochel Kikarzu. Okay. So we could put a bookmark at this point to the Gemara. So the section of this Gemara is what exactly is included in the Neder when he says that he's not going to eat anything, which is Mazon. Is that a problem for Rav and Shmuel in their position in the Gemara and Brachos? Possibly. The Gemara defends Rav and Shmuel despite the fact that the Gemara and Brachos already rejected the position of Rav and Shmuel, but at least over here, the Gemara will defend Rav and Shmuel again. Anyway, what falls under the category of Mazon? what falls under the category of zan. We continue in the Gemara. Am Rav Huna, Rav Shmuel, Shlo Ochel Kikar Zu Ma'arvin Lo Ba. Kikar Zu Alai Ein Ma'arvin Lo Ba. We're going to look at two different shvuos that a person makes on the loaf of bread. One, in one shvua, he could still use it as his Erev Tchum. In another shvua, he cannot use it as an Erev Tchum. When I originally prepared the Gemara, I thought the Gemara's distinction over here is a distinction between neder versus shvua. Although, to be fair, the Gemara uses the word shvua both times. And so I think now that the issue is not shvua versus neder, but we're going to look carefully at the wording of the Gemara, in which the Gemara is using the words zu versus alai. And that means to say as follows. Look at the first shvua carefully. Shvua shalo ochal kikar zu ma'arvin lo ba. So if he says that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread, so he can make erev with it. Why? Because let's remind each other what we learned back in the Mishnah. A nazir can use wine as his erev tchum. Why? He can't eat it. So he can't drink it. That's true, but somebody can. So that means to say that somebody else can. So our nazir is going to be receiving benefit. Not directly, but indirectly. By somebody else going ahead and drinking from the wine. So what the Gemara now is arguing is that if all I'm doing is just restricting myself from eating the bread, well, that's kind of similar to the case of the nazir and the wine. I myself am not going to eat it, but somebody else can. However, if the shvua is the next shvua, which is, zu alai ein ma'arvin lo ba. But if the person says that this loaf of bread will be usher to me, meaning that I'm not going to be able to get any kind of benefit from this bread, so then he can't use a fair of tchum. Because not only is he not allowed to eat from this bread, but he's not allowed to get even indirect benefit from the bread as well. And if the bread is going to benefit him in his ability to use the Erev Tchum, that too is going to be off the table and off limits. So the difference over here is this restriction to just simply the loaf of bread, where indirect benefit would be okay, or is this restriction going to be to everything that comes out of the bread? I will not be able to get benefit from any part of the bread. So then he can't use the Erev Tchum. This is the way Rav Huna presents the halacha. He's quoting Rav. The Gemara challenges. Makes ve'anodim in a kikar ma'arvin lo ba. The Braisa says that a person makes a neder from a loaf of bread. He can use it for an erev. So my lav damar alai. Now the Braisa doesn't say, but isn't the Braisa describing where he says the words alai lo damar zu? So the Gemara says no. He's saying the word zu. So achinam in mistabra. I'll tell you that seems to be more correct way of reading the Braisa. Diktani seifa at the end of the Braisa. Emesai bizman shamar shvua shelo at amenu. Where the shvua is that I wasn't going to taste it. And the Gemara's deduction of Amar Alai Mai. So, what if he said the word Alai? So then what would have been the conclusion? So, Hachinami Dei Ma'arvin Lo Ba, you can't use it. Ihachi Adetani. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem now. You are reading into the Braisa that by saying the word Zu, it's okay. By saying the word Alai, it's not okay. The Gemara says, that's all well and good, but I happen to know the end of the Braisa, says the Gemara. And the end of the Braisa says, Kikar Zu Hekdesh, Eim Arvin Lo Ba, Lefisha Eim Arvin Behekdeshos. If you were Makdish the bread, so then, no good, you cannot make an Erev with Hekdeshos, because if once it's Hekdesh, nobody is allowed to eat that bread. Now, what do we do in the Braisa? We're giving contrasting cases, as the Braisa often does. Meaning, we're giving a case where you can use it as an Erev, and we're giving a case where you can't use it as an Erev. The first case is where you make a shvua, and the second case is where you declare it to be hekdesh. Now the Gemara says, if in fact it's true, that there's a difference between saying the word zu and saying the word alai, so hopefully at this point in time you know what's coming up in the Gemara. And that is, make a better distinction in the Braisa. Make a finer and crisper distinction in the Braisa. So then the Braisa should make that distinction. That's a much better distinction. You're making a distinction in a Shvua in of itself, not having to move on to the case of Hektesh. Amalcha Rav Huna Elamai. Kol Hecha de Amar Alai Ma'arvin. So Kashereisha. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do you want to tell me? That if I say the word Alai, so then I can't use it? So the Gemara says, but that goes against the beginning of the Braisa. So Chesur Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to reintroduce ourselves to the Braisa and read it in the following manner. Hanodim in a kikar ma'arvin lo ba v'afilo amar alai nase ka'omer shvur shalo atamena. So if a person makes a neder from a loaf of bread, and even if he says the words alai, it's like the person says, I'm not tasting the bread, I'm not eating the bread. But under those circumstances, such an individual would still be able to use it for an Eruv. So the Gemara says, Mikomakom Kashla Ravuna, wonderful. We have successfully navigated through the Braisa. What comes out now is it doesn't matter whether the neder has the word zu or a lie, you could use it for your Eruv Tchum. The only time you can't use it for Eruv Tchum is when you make it Hektesh. So Hu Damar Karebi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. The Braisa we just learned together is against Ravuna. Ravuna has another Braisa supporting his position. Detanya will learn the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Shavu Shalochel, Kikarzu Marvin Loba, Kikarzu Alai, Ein Marvin Loba. This Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, verbatim as per Ravuna. Ravuna now has a Braisa, has a Tana that supports his position. Umiyama Rabbi Eliezer, Achiva Tanya, Zaklal, Adam Oser, Atzmo, Beochel, Marvin Loba, Aval Ochel, Haneser, Lola Adam, Ein Marvin Loba. The Gemara is going to be bothered because we have another Braisa. In this Braisa we just quoted, the Braisa gives us a general rule. If a person prohibits himself to a loaf of bread, he could use it for an Erev. However, if the loaf of bread is usher to people, so then he can't use it for an Erev. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Kikar Zu Alay, Marvin Loba, Kikar Zu Hektesh, Ein Marvin Loba, Lefisha Ein Marvin Lo, Begdeshos. Here in the Braisa, then, recording the position of Rebbe Eliezer, a distinction is to be made between making a neder versus making it hektesh. If he makes a neder, even if the neder is the word alai, you could use it as an eruv. If, however, he made the bread hektesh, so then he can't use it as his eruv. Comes out over here is that this Rebbe Eliezer is against Rav Huna, but quite honestly, it's also against the first Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara answers, Trei Tanai Valiba de Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. And the problem is, the solution is that there are various positions within the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's students recorded his position in multiple ways. And what we just have over here is a disagreement amongst the students in terms of what Rabbi Eliezer actually said. That kind of takes us to the end of that part of the discussion. So a person restricting himself from bread. And according to Rav Huna, if he's only restricting himself from the bread and he says the word zu, he could still use it as an Erev Tchum. Because even though he can't eat the bread, but any secondary benefits coming from the bread would be a fine, and allowing somebody else to eat it, and him now getting the benefit of having him move his Tchum would be good. If, however, he said the word alai, no good. Because what he's doing now is restricting not only the bread, but any benefit that comes off of the bread as well, and therefore it's no good. And the Gemara back and forth in terms of whether or not the Braises are going to be supportive of Rav Huna or against Rav Huna. Continuing in the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. Ma'arvin lenazir b'yayin, ma'sisin delo kebe shamai. Our mission is not following the position of Beishamai. Ditanya, we have the following Braisa. Beishamai omrim ein ma'arvin lenazir b'yayin, uli yisrael b'truma. Beishamai is of the position that you cannot, a nazir cannot make his Erev Tchum using wine. Neither can a non-Kohen use Truma to make his Erev Tchum. Beis Hillel Omrim, Marvin Lanazar B'yayin, Li Yisrael B'Truma, and Beis Hillel says it's fine. Amru Lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Yatamoda. And now we get a little dialogue over here as we turn to the Amud Beis. Beis Hillel turns to Beis Shammai and says, you must agree with me over the following. Shema Arvin Legadol B'Yom HaKippurim. Look, you're going to make an Erev Tchum on Yom Kippur. No one's allowed to eat. How are you making an Erev Tchum for somebody on Yom Kippur? Where's that person going on Yom Kippur? Not important. And in other words, it is important. But in other words, if a person has to make an Erev Tchum, he could do so on Yom Kippur despite the fact that nobody can eat it. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, how do you understand that halacha? Now, as Rashi points out over here, there really is only one way to understand that halacha. And that is, see the top Rashi over here. L'mishu hu gadol she'evi shtei sa'ar she'chayev be'inui ve'af agav de lemacher lo chazilei ho ve'chazi lekatan. So Rashi says the reason why you can make your Erev Tchum on Yom Kippur is because even though you can't eat the food, somebody else can. And Rashi identifies the katan. He can eat the food. So over here we have now a food that even though you personally cannot eat, but others can eat, and it will serve for you as an Erev Tchum. So it's the same thing with the Nazir and the Yayin. It's the same thing with a Zar and a Truma. You can't eat that food, but somebody else can, so therefore it should qualify as an Erev Tchum. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, and now, aren't you with me on the case of Yom Kippur? So, Amr Lehem Aval. So, Shammai's response to Beis Hillel is Aval. which in this context means we agree with you in that case. Amrlem kishim shemarv lagadol biyam kipurim came arv lanazir biyain uli yisrael b'truma. So and so Beisola closes their argument. If you're going to agree in the case of Yom Kippur, you're going to agree also by the yayin and nazir and by the zar and the truma. Now the Gemara does not give us the counter argument of Beis Shammai. What would Beis Shammai say in response? The Gemara gives it to us. Beis Shammai also mikasuda ruuya mibo'od yom hachalei kasuda haruuya mibo'od yom. Beis Shammai says I could see an easy distinction to be made in the case of setting up your erev tchum before Yom Kippur. So when you're setting it up, so it is something that you can eat. It happens to be that on Yom Kippur itself you can't eat it, but at least going into Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur, it's a seuda haruuya lo. On the other hand, when it comes to the wine for the nazir and for the zar for the, and the truma for the zar, so there it is simply something that that person can never eat as long as he's a nazir and as long as he's a zar. Nazir is temporary, zar is permanent, but you get the point. In other words, even at the time, you cannot eat it when setting it up. So there's a clear distinction to be made. Obviously, Beis Hillel does not like that distinction. Okay, so keman delo kechananya. So fine. So I'm sorry. So what we have right now is our mission is not going like the Shita Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai allows for the making up of an erev tchum using food. However, it has to be food which is edible, perfectly edible. Not like the Shitas of our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is not following like Beis Shammai. Good. Next is there's going to be a varying viewpoint of Beis Shammai. Chananya's viewpoint of Beis Shammai, and the Gemara is now going to note that there's no way that Beis Shammai agrees at all with any of this. Meaning, as we're going to see in just a moment, there this variant view of Beis Shammai, Chananya's view of Beis Shammai, is that if you want to make an Erev Tchum, here's what you're going to do. You want to change your Makum Shvisa, your point of center, your domicile. So what you're going to do is you're going to pick yourself up before Shabbos. You're going to move to your new point of center, and that is where you're going to be during the Benesh Mashas period, and for that matter, for the rest of Shabbos. Otherwise stated, this view of Beis Shammai is, there is no Erev Tchum that's created with food. Our entire discussion that we had now for three consecutive days, this is the fourth day now that we are here in the third parak, so Beis Shammai would say, this is not an option. Okay? And the Gemara introduces us to this position. Kemandalo kechananya detanya, we learned in the Braisa Chananya Omer, kol atzman shel Beis Shammai lo hayumodim be'eruv. Beis Shammai does not agree to eruv, meaning with food. Ad she'otzi mitaso v'chol kli tashmisho l'sham. You want to change your makom shvisa? You pick up your bed. You pick up all your belongings. You move. That is going to create your makom, a new makom shvisa. Kemandalo ha detanya, the Gemara says, what about the following Braisa? Which is Erev B'shchorim lo yatsa b'levanim, b'levanim lo yatsa b'shchorim. Let's say you made your Erev wearing your black clothing. You cannot go back to your house to get your white clothing. If you made your Erev in white clothing, you cannot go back to your house to get your black clothing. So, Keman Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Chananya hi avali b'devei Shammai. The author of the Braisa is Chananya, meaning that as far as moving your Makom Shvisa, you have to move everything, your entirety, your possessions, your belonging. You got to move. And now Ula Chananya b'shchorim hu delo yatsa habalavanim yatsa. So the Gemara says, wait one second, I'm a little bit confused by that braisa. Okay, so you can't go back to get your black clothing. You can go back to get your white clothing. Hamar hashiotzei mitaso uklei tashmish l'sham. Wait one second. In order to move your makom shvisa, you have to move all your possessions. So hachikamar ir b'levanim v'hutzrich l'shchorim habalavanim lo yatsa. Okay, so in terms of a better understanding of the braisa now is to be understood in the following manner. Is that, let's say, you made an erev while wearing your white clothing. And meanwhile, that was the wrong suit. You didn't need your white suit. You need your black suit. So now what comes out now is that the truth of the matter is that you didn't move your principal belongings to this new location. So now, what have you done for yourself? Nothing. Meaning, this is nothing. Afilu, afpe levanim lo yatsa. Meaning, at this point in time, you can't even go back to get your white clothing. Meaning, you have not established a new makom shvisa, period. And again now that we have good understanding of the Braisa, the author of the Braisa is Chananya, according to Beis Shammai, which is that the only way to create a new makom shvisa is to simply move locations. Not just move yourself, but move your principal belongings to that new location, and that is the only way you could do so. Okay, it goes without saying, this is not a shita that we follow, but at least we know it's out there. It's within the range. But obviously it's not the accepted halacha. Simchus, we are now in the middle of Lamed Amud Beis. Simchus Omer Bechulim V'ilu Nazir B'yayin Lo Palik. So now the Gemara notes such a nuanced position of Simchus back in the Mishnah. And maybe when we read the Mishnah we weren't sensitive to it, but now we are. And that is, if you go back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin L'Nazir B'yayin Uli Yisrael B'truma. So in the Mishnah, going all the way back to Chavav Amud Beis, so you can use, a Nazir could use wine to make his Erev, meaning again, this is a Shita Beis Hillel, and a non-Kohen could use Truma to make his Erev. Fine. So, and the point is that as long as somebody can eat it, even though you can't eat it, so that would be fine, that would be acceptable. And meanwhile, in the Mishnah, what's the next position? Simchus. Simchus says, Omer Bechulin, I'm sorry, Simchus Omer Bechulin. Simchus says that if you're a Tzar, you must use Chulin, you can't use Truma. Now notice that he only argues on the case of the Tzar in Truma, and he's not arguing on the case of the Nazir and the Yayin. Okay, so now we have something interesting on our hands, which is a distinction clearly is made for Simchus in the case of the Nazir and the Yayin, and the case of the Tzar and the Truma. And what is that distinction? How are we going to articulate that distinction? That's our next sugya. So Simchus Omer Bechulim V'ilu Nazir B'yayin Lo Palik Mai Taima. So the Gemara says, let's try to understand this. After the Mitchell, Nazirus Day. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Nazirus, look, even though right now you are currently restricted from drinking the wine, but there is a way out. The way to get out of a Nazirus, if one does not want to terminate or conclude the Nazirus, and only if this is possible, is the She'ela, meaning Nazirus is really a Neder. And if you regretted making the Neder, and the regret goes back to something that at the time of the origination, had you known X, Y, and Z, so then you wouldn't have made the neder. And you go to a chacham, and he hears the Pesach, he can release you from the neder. So even though wine is prohibited to the nazir, but there is a system of release, and that wine does not necessarily have to be usir for the nazir, even at the current state with a sheila, if he asks the sheila. So Yahachi Trumanami Asher Demishol Ilave. So the Gemara says, I got news for you. Same thing is true when it comes to Truma. When your mouth is Truma, that's also quasi neder, in that you are giving a status to a certain portion of your food. You're giving a Truma status. It's almost like Hekdesh, if you will, which is, again, like a neder. And so under those circumstances, if, let's say, for example, it wasn't that produce that you wanted to give to the Kohen for whatever reason, and you go to a Chacham, and you say, look, if I knew at the time X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have made that Truma, so he can be matir. He can release you from that, and so now the Truma can go back to being its tevel state. Fine. So the Gemara says, Imishallah hajra l'tivla. So the Gemara says, okay, but look what just happened. Meaning, when you get released from your Nazirus, so what's the status of the wine? Mutter. When you get released from the Truma that you established, so what happens? Not heter, iser. It goes back to its tevel state. Huh. So the Gemara says, so that's the difference, right? So the Gemara says, I'm not convinced. V'lifrosh alam mimakam acher. Well, what's the big deal? So just take off Truma again. So lech lo nech and take off Truma from produce in another location. So the Gemara says, lo nech shedu chavim l'trum shalom and amokav. No, that's not an option. In other words, to take off Truma from produce that is not proximate, it's not right here, so that's a violation. Presumably a rabbinic violation, but nevertheless, that's a violation. And Chavim are not going to do that. So, Velifra Shalami Neobe. So the Gemara says, okay, so take off Truma again right over here. And so now you're going to end up with this food being mutter. So the Gemara says, the Leis Beishura. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case under discussion is the amount of food that you set up was exactly two meals. And so now, if it's Truma and it's exactly two meals, so what are you going to do? In other words, now you have no solution because you're going to ask a chacham to release you. Fine. So now you're going to be released. And now it's no longer truma, now it's tevel. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to be mafish truma? Yeah, but I don't have any other truma. I may have produce elsewhere, but I can't use the produce elsewhere. I'll use the produce over here, but I only have exactly two meals. Once I establish part of it to be truma, I'll have less than two meals. So the Gemara says, okay. When all said and done, if your head's not aching at this point in time, umay pascha. So the Gemara says, you have just painted yourself into such a small corner. And you mean to tell me that the Mishnah, which is there to give us general rules, is only discussing this case under discussion? which is unbelievably limited. And that's what the Mishnah is describing. So the Gemara says, this can't all be it. Ela sumchus savala karabanan. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to attack this problem from a totally different angle, and that is as follows. Da'amri kol davashu mishum shvus gazru ala ben ashmashos. We have a machlokus, we're going to see this machlokus a couple times here in our Masechta. And that is the following. The ben ashmashos period, safek yom, safek laila. So one cannot violate isuri da'araisa. Obviously, that's a safek isur da'araisa. Can one violate isuri da'rabanan during the ben ashmashos? Machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe says yes under certain circumstances, and the Chachamim say no. And so what the Gemara says over here is that Sumchus is subscribing to the view of the Chachamim. That means to say that the Chachamim say that you cannot violate Isuri Durabanan. Being Mafresh Trumas Amaisros is an Isur Durabanan. Therefore, it's simply not an option because Sumchus subscribes to Shitas Chachamim, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to violate Isuri Durabanan. So therefore, there is no Tikkun for the Truma. You cannot be Shoel, you cannot get released and make it Chulin, sorry, and make it Tevel, and then re-Mafresh Truma, sorry, that was a funny word, but go ahead and be Mafresh Truma again, because that's a violation, that's an Issur Durabanan, which one is not allowed to do during the Ben Ashmashos period. Perhaps you're wondering at this point in time, what about being released from a Neder? Isn't that an act of Basin? Isn't that also going to be something which is prohibited on Shabbos? And according to the Chachamim, also during the Ben Ashmashos period, to which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, to which Tosfos says, no, not necessarily. Tosfos dibra maschal ela simchus savalak rabbanan. So as far as being shoel, so there we go to the end of the Gemara and Shabbos. We're there. The Gemara says that if it is relevant to Shabbos, you can ask, you can go to a chacham and get released from a neder even on Shabbos itself. Finishing up our sugya for this morning. So Gemara asla adenan yeshamru akolafi mashuhu adam. Malokim so, mincha, umalochafnav kitaris. So, the Braisa says, it's a Mishnah. Sorry, the Mishnah Kalim, 17th Perek. So, everything is going to be relative to the person. So, when it comes to a mincha and taking off the kumets, a fistful, relative to the person's hand. Malochafnav kitaris, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, when taking the kitaris, and he has to take two fistfuls, so, relative to his hand. Hashosim alolugmav biyom kippurim. A cheekful of drink relative to the size of your cheek. And when making up the Erev, shtei seudos. The Gemara wants to know, who is the author of this Mishnah in Kalim? So the Gemara says the author of this is Sumchus, because Sumchus says that you can only do something that is chazilei, that is fit for you. Meaning we just learned in our Mishnah that according to Sumchus, a non-Kohen cannot set up with Truma. Why? Because he can't eat the Truma. Now, when it comes to the Nazir and the Yain, at least it's possible for the Nazir to drink the wine with the She'ela. But for the Zar and the Truma, he can't eat the Truma, and therefore, you can't make an error with it. So that also means that, according to Sumchus, the food has to be tailor-made for the person who's trying to set up the Erev. Not only in terms of permissibility, but also in terms of shiurim as well. So the Mishnah in Kalim presumably is going like Simchas. Lema pliga de Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, the time Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar Omer, Ma'arvin lecholo lezakin kadei, mizono ula ra'avtam, besuuda beninish, shel kol adam. So the Gemara says, now presumably this also means that we're going to have to pit that Mishnah against the position of Shimon ben Lazar. Second time today that we're introduced to Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, that when making an Erev, so for the chola and for the zakein, so it's going to be tailor-made for the chola and zakein, which is their smaller appetite, smaller meals. But when it comes to somebody who is a glutton, so then he doesn't need a gluttonous-sized meal, an average-sized meal would be fine. So the Gemara says, that's not a difficulty. We could fit Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar into our discussion. Tirgama, achol v'zakein, ava raftan, vadla daitan etzokal adam. To which the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the Cholan Zakein, so we are doing exactly that. We're tailor-making the Eruv to the appetite of the person who's older and infirmed, and so therefore it's going to be a smaller amount. Vis-a-vis the glutton, so the Gemara says he's really an outlier. And so what we could say over here is that we don't have to make a meal large enough for the glutton, because batla daita etzo kol adam, because that is totally abnormal behavior. He is far off, more than two standard deviations away from the norm. right? And not saying that as a science, but you understand. Really off the end, he's out in the tail, and so therefore he is not his das is simply mevutal. It's simply nullified, and for him an average-sized meal would just be fine. So the truth of the matter is that Reb Shimon ben Elazar does belong in this discussion as well, and it's not going against the Mishnah in Kehillim. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Kohen walking through the base of Pras, the Kohen walking through a cemetery. We'll start with tomorrow. Let's quickly recap. Discussions over the course of this morning are the following. Number one, when establishing the amount for the two meals, is it going to be the amount of food that's eaten for that meal or the amount of food that's accessorizing the bread? Depends on what kind of food it is. Okay, the Gemara had a debate regarding roasted meat, whether it's a meal in of itself or whether it's accessorizing bread. We tried to look at the Persian practice where they eat meat in of themselves. They are only a segment of the population. They're not going to dictate the halacha. The Gemara's discussion of when setting up your Eruv, does it have to be tailor-made for you or does it follow conventional customs? Next discussion, when a person makes a neder not to eat mazon, what's included in that neder? And the Gemara's discussion of what we see in the Mishnah, it's anything but water and salt. Against the shitas of Rav and Shmuel that say that the bracha of borim minim zonus is only made on the five grains, our Mishnah says that mazon is basically everything that nourishes. The Gemara defends Rav and Shmuel. Our Mishnah is only talking about those things which are caloric, those things which fill you up. So those things which are zan, they satiate, right? You enjoy when you eat it. But in terms of mazon, in terms of actually filling you up, so maybe Rav and Shmuel are right. Maybe it's only the five grains. Okay, and a subsequent discussion in the Gemara regarding a person making a neder from a loaf of bread, can he use that for his Eruv? If, according to Rav Huna, if he says zu, then yes, because he's only restricting himself from eating the bread. He's allowed to get any other kind of benefit from the bread. If he says a lie, so then he can't. Because by saying a lie, he's saying that I'm not going to be getting any benefit from the bread, including not only the direct, but even the indirect benefits as well. The Gemara challenged Rav Huna based on Breitzos. Okay. Next discussion of the Gemara is the various shitas regarding making up an Erev Tchum. The shita of Beisol in our Mishnah, a Yayin can use Nazir. Let me do that again. Let me do it better. A Nazir can use Yayin because even though he can't drink the wine, somebody else can. A Zar can use Truma. Even though he can't eat the Truma, somebody else can. So clearly in our Mishnah, so as long as somebody can eat the food, that's going to be good enough. That is shitas Beisol. We were introduced to Beit Shammai, and then we were introduced to another version of Beit Shammai. In version number one, the food has to be edible. So a Nazir cannot use Yayin, and a Zar cannot use Truma. What about in Yom Kippur? It works. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Beit Shammai would counter and say, at least before Yom Kippur, it was edible. That was one version of Beit Shammai. A second version of Beit Shammai, Chananya, is that no. Even that there is no institution of Erev Tchum when it comes to food. The only way to reestablish your new place of residence is only by picking up and moving. And he totally rejects this option of reestablishing your residence by putting food in a new location. Our last discussion of this morning was the Shita of Simchus. Simchus is making a distinction between wine for a Nazir and Truma for a non-Kohen. Wine for a Nazir is fine. Truma for a non-Kohen is not fine. What's the difference? The difference is what you can do during Bein HaShemashos. Simcha subscribes to the Shita of the Chachamim. You can't violate Isuri Derabbanan during Bein HaShemashos, period. So therefore, for the Truma, for the non-Kohen, there simply is no option. He can't undo the Truma status and then reassign Truma. And the reason why is because being Mafish Truma Samaisos is Nisuri Derabbanan, and you can't do that during Bein HaShemashos, according to the Chachamim, which Simcha agrees to. On the other hand, when it comes to Yain for Nazir, no problem. He'll just ask a Sheila. Asking a Sheila on Shabbos is fine under certain circumstances. And so that's the difference between the two. Adkan.